When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The New York Giants take on the Washington Commanders. I almost said that other word. I had to like brain freeze myself. But they take on the Washington Commanders this Sunday. It is a critical week two game for the New York Giants. This game will say a lot about what the Giants and possibly even what Washington season is going to look like. I'm Coach Gene Clemens, and I have a giant issue. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of a giant issue. I am Coach Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining me. New York Giants on SI. That is where you will find all of your New York Giants news and information. Go there, check out my fantasy football plays for the New York Giants. Go there and check out any type of updated breaking news we've heard. Malik Nabers, He's okay. He's okay. And that's a great thing. As we get ready for this game versus the Giants, I just thought it would be right to bring in the best beard in the DC area. That is the beard from Authentic and the Beard. Thank you for joining me, my guy.
Hey, I appreciate you having me. It's an honor and a blessing to be on with you. You know, this is always, these two games a season are always, you know, big for me. You know, my co-host Authentic, huge New York Giants guy. Me and him grown up our whole lives together since we was in like third grade. So he's always been a Giants fan. I've always been a Washington fan. So this is always a big moment of the season for me. And I think as you started out the show, it's crazy to think that we're in week two and we're already talking about how big this game is for both of these franchises. But it actually is. And it's intriguing that that's where we're at right now, but that's where we are.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's intriguing for me, the things that I want to look at is these team like the success that the Giants had last year came at the expense of the Commanders. Mm-hmm. So if you are supposedly moving forward and you're supposed to be on the right track, you can't take the step back, right? You can't take the step back. But also from the Washington perspective, if you're not beating this Giants team, then who are you beating, right?
So it's a very good point.
It's one of those things where you look at it and you go, man, there are ramifications on both ends. I know the first thing I want to get in is this, and I want to see how you feel about it. From the Washington perspective, I did not like the Dan Quinn hire. I thought it was unimaginative. I thought that it was a recycle for a guy who didn't need to be recycled. I thought that the 1 year in Dallas when their defense was good was really based off of turnovers. It wasn't based off of their ability to stop anybody. It was based off of the ability of the players to make plays. And then I thought, oh, that's right. That's all Dan Quinn has ever done. He's just had good players, and those good players have made his scheme looked like it was fantastic. But when he didn't have the same level of players, scheme just didn't look like much. And so I wanted to get what your thought process was. What did you think when the Washington hired Dan Quinn?
So initially he was not on my radar, and I'm a very, like, you can check my receipts type of guy. You know what I'm saying? Like I will admit when I'm wrong, when I'm right, when I change my mind, etc. So Dan Quinn was literally the one guy I did not want to hire in this coaching cycle. I was obviously a big Ben Johnson guy. Like, you know, and I think for me sometimes, and this, I think this works for pretty much any fan from any team, you always want that new shiny toy, right? And so for me, I think Ben Johnson was that new shiny toy. And when you look at Dan Quinn's resume, it's eerily similar to Ron Rivera. But I think the coach Dan Quinn is different than the coach Ron Rivera, you know, even though they have the similar resume. So I was not on board with the Dan Quinn hire, but I have kept an open mind on everything this franchise is doing because I've gone 20 plus years with just unimaginable buffoonery going on in the front office. So I had to like, you know, set my feet in the ground of tempering expectations and having faith in this new regime from the ownership to Adam Peters and so forth. So for me, I kind of like was like, all right, I don't like this, but I am going to roll with it. And then as time went along from the hire, I really liked what he did by filling out his staff. Thought he did a good job filling out his staff. I think listening to him talk more, because, you know, you didn't really hear him talk as much from the D coordinator's position as you did when he was a head coach in Atlanta. I think he's changed a lot since that head coaching gig in Atlanta. And I think becoming a defensive coordinator in Dallas has kind of helped him do that through that change. So as time has progressed, I have gotten more and more on board. And I think he was the right man for the job at this point in time with this franchise. So I'm on board now, you know, like, and I'm not, this other thing too, is like, I'm a realistic fan. I'm not expecting the Super Bowl, not expecting the playoffs necessarily either. You know, I am expecting progress though. Like you mentioned, I think that that's important that we, you know, make sure that that is known. I'm not going to be happy if we get 6 wins, 7 wins. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to win every game, but I do understand the situation that we're in. So I have become a Dan Quinn fan for the time being.
And it's not even, I thought it was a bad hire. I just didn't think it was very I didn't think it was very forward moving.
You know? It was literally like I said, it wasn't even like on my radar.
I actually talked about that on my podcast yesterday, is that I thought that it was interesting because you don't normally see a team go defensive coach to defensive coach when they're transitioning from one coach to another. They normally go opposite, right? Mm-hmm. So for them to go from Ron Rivera to Dan Quinn, I was like, oof. Especially like you said, when you think about the way in which they've kind of made their bones in this game and them getting another chance in DC. I actually hope the best for him because I really like your first round draft pick this year, Jaden Daniels, who I thought the Giants should have been turning over like whatever rocks and moving whatever earth to get that guy in there. Because if you think about the success that Tyrod Taylor has had, to me, Jaden Daniels is a Tyrod Taylor on steroids, right? Like he is the next evolution of a Tyrod Taylor. And if Tyrod would have had some better luck with injuries, and if Buffalo didn't just say, we don't want this dude as our quarterback, we want something else, right? Like his career may have gone differently. Looking at the matchup, right? What was your thought process after week one watching them versus what's going to be a competitive Buccaneers team all year?
So I picked Tampa Bay to win that game, you know? So like, you know, a lot of people kind of looked at it as, I think people forgot how good Tampa Bay was and they had some of their best talent and their strengths were going against our weaknesses, you know? And it's evident that we're going into this season with problems at the O-line, problems in the secondary, and problems at the wide receiver position. You know, that's just it. If you don't believe that, you're being naive and you're not really looking at things. I think I was even a little bit naive until the trade we traded away Jahan Dotson, and then I really kind of stepped back and looked at it from a bigger scope, and I said, this is a bottom 5 wide receiving core in the National Football League for the Washington Commanders. So for me, like that's it's tough because you look at a guy like Caleb Williams. The Chicago Bears put Caleb Williams in a position that no other rookie quarterback has ever been in the history of the National Football League. Okay, he's got weapons all over the field, not just at the wide receiving core, but you know the tight end position with Cole Kmet and Everett, and then you go into the backfield. You got Swift, you got Johnson, you got Khalil Herbert. I mean, they're stacked, right? So for me, I kind of tempered my expectations. I thought Jayden Daniels looked fantastic. You know, he missed a couple of plays. He missed a deep ball to McLaurin on the sideline. The first play of the game was a little bit, you know, sketchy. The throw to Brian Robinson, which ended up technically being a fumble. I'm not one of these guys that sits here and complains about Jayden Daniels running. To me, I think it's absolutely ridiculous that anybody would complain about him running. You literally drafted a guy that is dangerous with his legs. You know, like, it's not like, and then you're coming off a guy like Sam Howell, who we spent an entire year complaining because he was getting sacked every play, right?
Yeah.
So if your wide receivers aren't getting separation, your O-line can't hold a block. I mean, last week, every single starting offensive lineman allowed a pressure for the Washington Commanders, okay? So if your wide receivers can't get open, your offensive line can't hold a block, and you have a quarterback who can run for positive yards, why are we complaining that he is running the ball? I mean, they're like, he ran the ball 16 times. I mean, of those 16 times, maybe five were actually, you know, designed run plays. And it wasn't like he was running backwards like Caleb Williams. He was getting first downs. He was getting out of bounds. He was doing his little tumble slide, you know. So for me, I thought he was processing a little fast. And I think that that's natural for somebody who's already, he's a good processor, you know, and I think that he might have been processing a little fast. I heard a good point that I didn't really think about until yesterday, was that he might be getting used to what NFL open is. And I thought that was a fantastic point, because guys who are open in the college level, it looks a lot different than guys that are open in the NFL. So I think as soon as he kind of gets used to that, you'll see him pull the trigger a little bit more with his arm. But I thought he did good. Obviously, the secondary was a complete disaster. The defense was sloppy, and, you know, they couldn't finish tackles. They were in the backfield a ton. I think we had 8 or 9 tackles for losses, which is, you know, either first or second in the NFL in week one. So for me, I just think that it just lacked the sort of intensity that I was expecting, which is what the coaching staff had been promising us. For me, like, all I want to see is I want to see competitive football. And in this case, the only way that Washington is going to be competitive is if they play tougher and play smarter than their opponents, because that's just the type of team that they're going to have to be to compete this year. So I was happy with what I saw in the positive sides, disappointed in what I saw in the negative sides, and about what I expected from the personnel that we have right now.
That's perfect. I want to then go into some of these matchups, because I got to talk more Giants, or else my people, the Giants fans, are going to be like, this ain't no Washington pod. Like, we get it. It probably wasn't. This ain't no Washington pod. You know, got to put a little, some of that thing in it. You talked about the offensive line, and I remember last year it was a sieve versus the Giants. A lot of Giants ate versus that offensive line. It doesn't seem as if they've shored up anything on the offensive line through game one, but obviously the Buccaneers have a few people that can, a couple people, especially on the interior, that can make life hard. The Giants have one of those guys.
Jackson
on the interior that's going to make life hard. And they've got two guys on the edge that are going to be chomping at the bit because they didn't have a great week one performance. What is your thought about this Washington offensive line versus this Giants front four?
So obviously you guys have some very talented players on that line. You know, Dexter Lawrence is a man in a machine of his own, right? So and Thibodeau, I've always, because you know I follow a ton of Giants football. I've always liked Kayvon Thibodeau. I you know, like, I'm sure he rubs a lot of people the wrong way, and there's certain things obviously that I would wish that he would do differently, right? But on the field against Washington, he has always played us well. Him and Daniel Jones are the two dudes that have just, I don't know what it is about Washington, but they seem to play some of their best ball against us. So It's going to be interesting. I'm also kind of watching Brandon Coleman as far as the offensive line goes for Washington, because, you know, they kind of swapped him in on a couple of series. He's one of our better draft picks, and we're trying to move him into tackle from, you know, guard position in college. But I think our interior offensive line is actually our strong suit as far as the center goes and as far as, you know, Sam Cosmi at the guard position. So they're going to rely on the ability of our interior offensive line to be able to block Dexter Lawrence. Now, that does open up the door, obviously, for guys like Thibodeau, Brian Burns, you know, to make plays. The big issue is going to be Jaden Daniels. Can Jaden Daniels control this offensive line, control this defensive line with his ability to run when need be? That's going to be where the Giants' defensive line is going to, I don't want to say struggle, but it's going to be interesting, because you're chomping at the bit to get to that quarterback. But you can't forget to contain that edge, because if you don't contain that edge, Jaden Daniels is going to make them pay. So it's a very good matchup to keep your eye on in this game, is that, because I think that the Giants' defense and Washington's offense is going to be, whoever can win that battle will win this game. Because to be frank, we're not counting Carolina. Okay, but we have the worst defense in the NFL right now, and you guys have the worst offense in the NFL. So it's going to come down to Washington's offense against the Giants' defense. Which one of those, you know, parts of the team can actually win that battle?
It's interesting, and I wanted to go back to something you were talking about with Kayvon Thibodeau, because I feel like a lot of people get upset at kind of like his demeanor and the way in which he carries himself. Which I think is hilarious, because you've never seen him dogging it in a game.
Nope.
Like, if there was video evidence of him not going hard and then him walking around with this level of arrogance or this level of entitlement or whatever, then I can understand what the issue is. But if you watch him on whether he's making a play or not is inconsequential. I'm looking at effort, and he's going hard. Every single play, he's trying to chase stuff down. He's trying to get to the quarterback when they keep dropping him in coverage, which I think is the most ridiculous thing ever.
I don't like that either.
He's dropping in the coverage, but I never see him taking plays off. And so that's what really rubs me the wrong way every time people have an issue, because I could point to some people who are not always going hard. Like, if we wanted to play that game, I could point to some people who don't always have their motor running. And say, hey, that person is somebody that probably shouldn't run their mouth or shouldn't open their mouth or shouldn't say whatever. But I think these relationships and what gets put out into the public, right? The way we're able as media members to shape the narrative is not the same way that the players are able to shape the narrative.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And so when we see the stuff from Kayvon, we only respond to the negative stuff. We don't respond to any of the positives. Like, what about all of the times he's granted guys who are not very well-known media members access? Mm-hmm. Like, when he's given interviews to people who aren't ESPN or Fox Sports or whatever, like, he doesn't get any credit for that? It's only going to be us talking
it's
about
the interesting data? Because you have to think about it, too, like, from my perspective, I've seen this whole act already with Chase Young, right?
Absolutely.
So, like, it's like there's some obvious differences, but there is a lot of similarities in the situation. And I'm a big Chase Young guy. I want nothing but the best for Chase Young. And, you know, for those of you that were wondering, he was like number three in pass rush win rate in the NFL in week one for the Saints. But you didn't hear anything about that. But it just goes to kind of tell you, like, with those sort of guys at that position and where they're drafted, your average fan expects Watt-like production. Yeah. And it's not always going to be like that.
That's hilarious because I actually said on my pod yesterday, like, there's only two Watts. Everybody else is just a normal dude. There's only two Watts that are out here getting sacks and 80-plus tackles. Like, those guys don't exist. And if we're being honest about it, there might be some things with these Watts that have them at the level that they're at. And probably why they're not going to be able to last for a 15-year career. They're going to be, you know, more of an 8, 9, 10 of prime. But I think the offensive line, I'm not disagreeing with you that it's going to be, you know, your offense versus our defense. But I think it's going to be interesting to watch because the Giants' offense has had a good amount of success versus the Washington defense. What to you, what's the most concerning part of the defense going into week two versus the Giants?
So this is the thing too, is that we have to remember that Washington has the biggest roster turnover in the National Football League. And I think that's a positive because obviously our roster last year wasn't winning football games. It's also a negative because it takes time when I'm a big sports guy, right? I love all sports. When you see these in basketball, I think this is a good example. In basketball, when you see these guys that make, it's not a super team anymore, but, you know, like for lack of a better term, these super teams, and you bring in three guys, right, to be the head of this monster lineup, right? It takes time for them to gel, to get on the same page because they're not used to playing with each other so much. And it's very, on the defensive side of the ball specifically, it is so critical to have that sort of cohesiveness because the defense is so much based on communication, you know, and if you're not communicating with one another on the defensive side of the ball, man, the coverage will get blown and somebody is going to make somebody look stupid. And so, like, for me, that's one of the issues I think we have right now. If you look at the tape in week one, there was so much confusion, especially on the back end of the defense. And obviously, we lost Emmanuel Forbes. Some people may say that doesn't mean anything. It's probably a good thing. You know, I think it's always a bad thing when one of your guys go down, especially at a position like the cornerback, because we were basically rostering three guys at corner, three or four guys. You know, we have like seven safeties on our roster right now. So, you know, he goes down. Noah I is going to step in. I've kind of been following him for a little while. I thought he played pretty well at Miami, you know, the beginning of his career. So he's going to get some time. Mike Davis, who didn't play at all in week one, is also going to get some burn in the secondary. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the secondary. Obviously, they're going to have to find a way to stop Malik Nabers. You know, and Darius Slayton, I'm not sure what his progression is. I haven't checked today. I know he was still in concussion protocol. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays. And if he doesn't play, are they going to increase the, you know, snap counts for Jalen Hyatt, a guy who should have been playing more, but wasn't playing a lot in that first game for the Giants. So I think obviously you're going to want to attack the secondary if you're the New York Football Giants. The problem is can Daniel Jones do that? And, you know, Washington was in the backfield against Baker Mayfield a ton, but they weren't being able to finish the plays when they were back there. You're going to have to do that. It's like, you know, Authentic, shout out my co-host. He says this all the time. The best offensive line is a decisive quarterback, right?
Yep.
The best secondary is a powerful front, okay? Because the quicker that your front line can get to the quarterback, the less amount of time that your secondary has to spend in coverage. And the longer that secondary is in coverage for Washington, the easier it is for somebody to get open, it feels like. And that's how we end up getting attacked and lose. I mean, now you guys don't have a Mike Evans or a Chris Godwin, But, you know, those two guys were targeted 14 times in week one. They caught 13 passes for 3 touchdowns. So, you know, Malik Nabers is probably licking his chops, just crossing his fingers at the same time, hoping that Daniel Jones could find a way to get him the ball. But that's my main concern. My main concern is the secondary, communication. Obviously, third down is huge for me. Week one, we had the worst third down percentage on defense. I think 69.2% Tampa Bay was on third down against us in week one. So we got to find a way to stop the Giants on third down.
Yeah, and subsequently, I think that what you said about the secondary holds true for the Giants. Like, they're being asked to bend but don't break. And I also think this part. Yeah, the best secondary is a aggressive defensive line, but I think also the best defensive lines are aggressive secondaries.
That's a very good point.
And so when you're playing passive, which the Giants seem to be doing all of last game, playing back, trying to bend but don't break, right? That allows the quarterback to catch it, see that guy open, and throw it. Mm-hmm. Catch, and that's a lot of what they were doing in Minnesota early on. It was catch, step, throw, catch, step, throw, catch, step, throw. And then all of a sudden, the Giants try to go man to try to force some more pressure situations. They don't get home. Now I've got enough time to and go over the top with it. And we got and the Giants got beat on some plays that they should not have really gotten beat on, or got penalties on some things that probably weren't penalties. For me, I think the issue becomes offensively for the Giants. Can they get a responsible run game going? Here's what I'll tell you, and I've been saying it. I talked about it with Authentic when he was on with me. I'm concerned at the fact that the Giants brought in guys who are not known as run blockers. Like, they brought in Jermaine Illuminor. He was supposed to go to guard. Mm-hmm. They weren't moving him to guard because he was a road grader. They were moving him to guard because they wanted to improve the interior pass protection. They brought in John Runyon Jr., who essentially lost his job in Green Bay, to a guy that they paid a ton of money to, right? They brought him in to pass protect. They didn't bring him in to open up holes. It looked like that in week one.
Yeah.
In week one, it looked like they paid for a pass protection offensive line. They got a pass protection offensive line. The problem is when your quarterback needs a little bit of help, you don't have the magic eraser known as Saquon Barkley anymore.
No, you don't.
So if you're going to tell me, hey, we can get these other three guys to approximate what Saquon Barkley gave us, then show me. Because right now I don't see it. Right now I have not seen anything about that running game against starters, not against the third and fourth strings in preseason games, but against starters. I have not seen anything about that run game that tells me that they are going to be anywhere near what Saquon Barkley was last year. And that was a down Saquon Barkley year because he was dealing with injuries all year.
Listen, this is the thing. I'm a run guy. I'm a trenches guy. I'm a RTDB, run a damn ball sort of guy. Okay. Like, I love me a good running game. And I think you're 100% right. And you're in a situation right now for the New York Giants where your quarterback is not it's there's so much going on at the quarterback position for the New York Giants with Daniel Jones. It's mental, it's physical, it's everything, right? You got to be able to run the ball, because what's happening here too is that you're not getting the running game going early, right? So you're forcing Daniel Jones to make plays, and then he's turning the ball over, and now you're in the hole, and then you're down, and then your defense gives up some points, and now you've completely taken yourself, although I don't believe it. I'm the type of guy who thinks if you can run the ball, you can run the ball down 14, 16 points, run the damn ball, right?
Yep.
But, you know, now you're kind of taking away from the ability to even run the ball. So those are the type of games where you look back at the box score, and you're like, we ran the ball 15 times. Like, what's going on? I think that's going to be big for the New York Giants, not just in this matchup against Washington, but moving forward throughout the rest of the season. You have to find a way to get the running game going and in a rhythm, too, because I think Devin Singletary is a good running back. You know, he's not a Pro Bowl running back, right? But he is a good running back, but he's a rhythm runner. A lot of these guys nowadays in the National Football League, they're rhythm runners, right? And it's like, you know, you pay attention to the rhythm when it comes to quarterbacks, right? Like, what does offensive coordinators always talk about? They say, oh, you know, I want to get the game first scripted first 15 plays, right? A lot of those plays are going to be, you know, screens. They're going to be like, you know, a couple of hitches, turnaround, stuff like that to kind of just get the quarterback's blood going, right? Yeah. But you don't ever hear anybody talk about the running game rhythm. Like, you know, it's tough for a runner to get one carry a series and then the next series, no carries. And then now you want to give him the ball three times and the offensive line can't hold the blocks and he's going three carries for 5 yards. You know, it's just a lot of that comes down to the play calling for the Giants too.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing is like, if you're saying, hey, we're going to put the ball into Daniel Jones' hands, a $40 million man, and let him deal, then you need to be able to put together a game plan that makes it almost foolproof for him to be able to get these passes off early until he gets a rhythm. I'm going to get you out of here on this. I don't think Daniel Jones is going to be nearly as bad as he was last week. I think the last week, that's the bottom out. I talked about it yesterday on my pod. What we saw out of Tua on Thursday is the bottom out of his talent. Like, that's what he is at his worst. I think what we saw from Daniel Jones week one is what he is at his worst. I don't think that's who he is. I think that's what he is at his worst. Not saying that his best is great, but his best isn't what we saw in week one. I think that opens up the opportunity for him to have success versus a team that he's had some success from. I don't know about winning because he's only won 1-1 versus Washington, you know, over the last three times he's played them. But I do think we'll see a better Giants. Have you given a prediction for this game yet?
I have a prediction for this
game. And what is your prediction? Let us know.
All right. So I think, listen, the first prediction I'm going to give you guys is that one of these fan bases is going to be angry on Monday.
Because
from a Washington standpoint, if you let Daniel Jones go in here, who hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in almost 365 days, come in here and on your home turf and throw for some touchdown passes, you're never going to hear the end of it. Now, if Daniel Jones can't throw a touchdown pass against the worst secondary in the National Football League, he's never going to hear the end of it. Yep. I think that this game is going to be pretty lopsided for the most part. I think the Giants are going to struggle to put offensive points up on the board. I think it'll be close for most of the game. I think Washington pulls away towards the end in the third, fourth quarter. I got Washington winning this game by a final score of 27-12.
Wow. Okay. I like it. Just so you know, Giants fans, this is my official prediction, Beard, so you get to get it live right now. I think this game comes down to the trenches. And as crazy as it sounds, I like the trenches of the Giants more than I like the trenches of Washington. I think the Giants defensive line and edge rushers, I think they have a day. I think they wreak havoc all over the place. They're going to force Jaden Daniels into some rushes that are maybe not the most intelligent rushes in the world. And when he does that, the one thing that this Giants defense has been consistent at is getting the ball. Mm-hmm. And I think you may see a turnover or two from Jaden Daniels as he tries to make a play while he's trying to break the pocket. Those turn into easy short fields that Giants are able to turn into either 3 points or, dare I say it, maybe even a touchdown. Who knows? Graham Gano, if you've got him on fantasy, start Graham Gano. I think that the New York Giants win this game 24-17.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
It's gonna be a fun one.
Tell everybody where they can find all your stuff, because I know you do Authentic in the Beard, and then you do like some history stuff as well, right?
I do a little bit of everything. You can find us talking football on Authentic in the Beard. We're live together every Tuesday, Thursday night, and then Sunday mornings we do a fantasy show, except for this week because we'll be at the game. And then you can check out Authentic, who does his Giant Overreaction on Mondays. And then I do a little bit of everything else. So I'm a full-time antique dealer and sports card dealer. So you can find me on YouTube, Instagram, all that stuff over the years and over the years sports. And if you guys want to talk football, you can find me on Twitter, Tim Walk on Water 2 on Twitter. I'm always love to talk ball, fantasy. I'm a big fantasy guy. So It was an interesting game last night if you were going up against a team that had James Cook and Achane. Yeah, so I love all sports, though. I'm a sports junkie, man, up and down. So,
hey, I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, you all know where to find me, at Gene Clemens, everywhere that you get your social media, that you follow social media, at New York Giants on SI. Definitely go there for all your New York Giants news and information. And make sure that you hit the subscribe button on the New York Giants on SI YouTube channel. We're still trying to get to 2,000. Look, we didn't make the goal. So now we just got to keep on going until we hit that goal.
Hit the button.
So that I can get a new goal out there. We will not stop. We will not stop. Until next time, I'm Coach Gene Clemens, and I have a giant issue.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.